Basically, what you're trying to say is that you can't control it.
I'm not trying to say that. The whole bloody ship is.
It's the wild colour scheme that freaks me. I mean, when you try and operate one of these weird black controls which are labelled in black on a black background, a small black light lights up black to let you know you've done it. What is this? Some kind of intergalactic hyperhearse?
Well, perhaps it is.
Isn't there any way you can control it? You're making me feel spacesick.
Time sick. We're plummeting backwards through time.
Oh, God. Now I think I really am going to be ill.
Go ahead. We could do with a little colour around the place.
Oh, for God's sake, Zaphod, go easy, will you? Already today we've had to sit through the end of the universe, and before that we were blasted 576,000 years through time by an exploding computer.
It's all right for you. I have to go the long way round.
How did that happen anyway? How does an exploding computer push you through time?
Very simple. It wasn't a computer. It was a hyperspatial field generator.
Silly. I should have recognized it at once.
As it overheated, it blew a hole through the space-time continuum, and you dropped through like a stone through a wet paper bag. I hate wet paper bags.
Hey, that sounds better. Have you managed to make some sense of the controls?
No, we just stopped fiddling with them. Oh. I think this ship has a far better idea of where it's going than we do.
Well, that sounds quite sensible to me.
What do you know about it, Ape-Man?
Well, look, if whoever owns this ship traveled forward in time to the restaurant at the end of the universe, then presumably he must have programmed the ship in advance to return him to the exact point he originally left. Doesn't that make sense?
That's quite a good thought, you know. Particularly if he was anticipating having a good time. Drunk in charge of a timeship is a pretty serious offence. They tend to lock you away in some planet's stone age and tell you to evolve into a more responsible life form.
So there's nothing to do but sit back and see where we turn up. So what do we do in the meantime?
I've got a pocket Scrabble set.
Go play with a nut.
Well, if that's your attitude.
Hey, look, Earthman, you've got a job to do, remember? The question to the ultimate answer, right? Now, there's a lot of money tied up in that head thing of yours. I mean, just think of the merchandising. Ultimate question, t-shirts, ultimate question,
well, yes,
biscuits.
But where do we start? I don't know. The ultimate answer, so-called, is 42. Well, what's the question? How am I supposed to know? Could be anything. I mean, what's 6 times 7?
42.
Yes, I know that. I'm just saying the question could be anything. How should I know?
Because you and Trillian are the last generation products of the Earth computer matrix. You must know.
I know.
Shut up, Marvin. This is organism talk.
It's printed in the Earthman's brainwave patterns, but I don't suppose you'll be very interested in knowing that.
You mean you can see into my mind?
Yes.
And?
It amazes me how you manage to live in anything that small.
Ah, abuse.
Yes.
Oh, he's only making it up.
Making it up? Why should I want to make anything up? Life's bad enough as it is without wanting to invent any more of it.
Marvin, if you knew what it was all along, why didn't you tell us?
You didn't ask.
Well, we're asking you now, Metal Man. What's the question?
The ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
To which the answer is 42.
Yes, come on.
I can tell that you're not really interested.
Will you just tell us, you motorized maniac?
Hey, look, the control panel's lighting up. We must have arrived.
Hey, yeah, we've zapped back into real space.
I knew you weren't really interested.
The controls won't respond. It's still going its own way. Isn't there any way we can introduce this ship to the concept of democracy?
Can we at least find out where we are?
The vision screens are all blank. Can't we turn them on?
They are on.
Why can't we see any stars?
Hey, you know, I think we must be outside the galaxy.
We're picking up speed. We're heading out into intergalactic space. Arthur, check out the rear screens, will you?
I feel cold, all alone in this infinite void.
Apart from the fleet of black battlecruisers behind us.
What?
Which particular fleet of black battlecruisers is that, Earthman?
Oh, the ones on the rear screens. Sorry, I thought you'd noticed them. There are about 100,000. Is that wrong?
No. What do you expect if you steal the flagship of an admiral of the space fleet?
Marvin, what makes you think this is an admiral's flagship?
I know he did. I parked it for him.
Then why the planet of hell didn't you tell us?
You didn't ask.
You know what we've done? We've dropped ourselves into the vanguard of a major intergalactic war.
Will our heroes ever have a chance to find out what the ultimate question is? Will they be too busy dealing with 100,000 horribly beweaponed battlecruisers to have a chance to have a sympathetic chat with Marvin, the paranoid android? Will they eventually have to settle down and lead normal lives as account executives or management consultants? Will life ever be the same again after next week's last and reasonably exciting installment of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Peter Jones was the book. Anthony Sharp was Gark Pitt, the waiter, and Zarquan the prophet, and Roy Hudd, compere at the restaurant at the end of the universe. With Simon Jones, Arthur Dent, Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect, Mark Wing Davy, Zaphod Beeblebrox, Susan Sheridan, Trillian, and Stephen Moore, Marvin. The programme was written by Douglas Adams and John Lloyd, and produced by Jeffrey Perkins, with the assistance of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. If you would like a copy of the book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, please write to Megadodo Publications, Megadodo House, Ursa Minor, enclosing £3.95 for the book, plus £597,812,406.7p, postage and packing.